Ooh, hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Cat, that's C-A-T, Dancing the Night Away. Cat, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all your premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Give us a follow. And if you found me on TikTok, we'll TikTok to you. We may be starting to do a few drink recipes there on TikTok to promote the podcast. So check her out. Today, we're going to shout out two listeners. One's in Greensboro, North Carolina. Greensboro is known as Tournament Town because it has many athletic venues, concerts, fields, stadium, has hosted both men's and women's ACC basketball tournaments and PGA Wyndham Championships and U.S. Figure Skating Championships. Our other town is Wichita, Kansas. Wichita is known for the Center of Entrepreneurship. In addition to the aircraft pioneers, Fred Koch, Koch Industries, Dan and Fred Carney founded Pizza Hut, Coleman, Freddy's Frozen Custard, and many other successful companies there in Wichita. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. Alcohol is a mainstay here on the back porch. You know, I thought about it the other day. If I took all the money I spent on beer, I'd take it and spend it on beer.
Yikes.
Today, I'm having my Eyinger Oktoberfest beer that I scored at the Total Wine.
Are they running out of that yet, or
well,
the end of them?
They, Air Store got 10 cases. And how do I know? Because I counted. Another podcast, what do we do? A couple podcasts back was talking about Oktoberfest, and I just tried some of those beers, and this one just hit me right between the eyes. The Total Wine place, like 20 minutes up the road from here. And again, they had 10 cases of it showed up this year, and I bought most of it. Ha ha, Kat, what you sipping?
I'm drinking me a Drunk Witch cocktail, courtesy of Shake, Drink, and Repeat. It's 2 ounces of vodka, 2 ounces of blue curacao, 2 ounces of grenadine, and top with a little 7-Up.
Ooh, sounds sweet like eBay.
Thanks, doll. For
all right,
drunk witches out there.
Yeah, I don't know about a drunk witch. That's an interesting topic. They're already a little weird anyway, and then you add alcohol. I don't know which way that's gonna go.
We'll ask Stevie Nicks.
All right, today we're gonna take a look back at the infamous infomercial. You young cats are like, what the hell is that? All right, the 90s was known for a lot of dodgy shit, and the infomercial has to be at the top of the list. It's like a half hour to an hour of television programming designed to get you to open your wallet and buy some useless piece of shit that you don't need. Or better yet, doesn't do what they promised, right, on the infomercial. And let's remember, at this time, cable TV became very popular in the 90s. Elon didn't have no satellites floating around back then. So cable TV offered maybe what, Kat, 100 channels at the beginning,
right,
back
right
in the day?
Now we're what, like 1,000 or so?
Yeah, and nothing on. So the infomercial started popping up. At the beginning, I'm going to say it was late at night, right?
Right.
When these channels, they just needed programming. They
something
didn't care.
Back when we were kids, there was a time when, like, you wouldn't have TV and there'd be just like a test pattern there. Right. Remember those days?
I do. Some of you listening don't know what the we're talking about, but yeah, it was just, it looked like a target that you would shoot at. We'll be back on in the morning. We don't have anything right now. So the infomercial popped up. I just remember this shit vividly because I was working shift work back in the 90s. So I'd get home, I don't know, what, around midnight or something.
Right.
And, you know, Kat and the kids are asleep. And I'm trying to wind down. So I just cut the TV on. And there's these infomercials. They were like on every other channel. The psychics. Call this number.
California psychics.
Now. And Miss Chloe will tell you where you're going to get a high-paying job. You're going to find your soulmate. It's all just around the corner. And remember, celebrities got involved in this shit. Dionne Warwick.
Dionne.
I know you young bucks are like, who the fuck is Dionne Warwick? Don't worry. It doesn't matter. It was Dionne Warwick and her psychic friends. That was like a very popular infomercial back in the day. You had Suzanne Summers, Hawking the Thighmaster, Chuck Norris. Is he still doing the Total Gym thing?
No, they finally got somebody else new.
George Foreman Grill. Chia Pets.
Chia Pets.
Are they still sold at the Walgreens at Christmas time?
Yeah, it's Christmas time.
That doesn't work either. You put the seeds in the water,
I think we did one or two of those.
And nothing comes up. Okay. That's the thing about some of these infomercials. If you bought the shit, it usually didn't work. The clapper.
Clap on. Clap off.
Maybe the biggest
the clapper
one was the Ginsu knife collection.
Oh, God.
For $39.99. You get this, you get that. And if you order now, you get some free blah, blah, blah. Operators are standing by. And believe it or not, people bought this junk. That they were
I'm reading the sales statistics. In 2022, infomercial industry still is now generating $250 million globally in the United States.
People have made millions hawking their wares on the infomercial. Back in the day, and I guess Kat's saying it's still popping.
Still going. Well, you go on some of the local channels, like on the weekend, you don't have like a NASCAR race or some sporty sports going on.
Oh, you're right. On Saturdays,
Sundays, you know, for me on Saturday and Sundays, if I get a chance, the only close I can get is to watch QVC. If David's
on, we're gonna get to that.
David's on like on Sunday afternoon on QVC. It's the best thing going because he's always like selling stuff. You know, maybe if we're drunk, we're gonna go buy some of it. But usually, it's just very entertaining because he's really hawking
seasonal.
The stuff.
It's all seasonal.
Right.
I want to see
the seasonal. What was it the other day? It was like apples with all this shit on it. Did you get the Kringles or whatever?
Apples are getting a big run this year, by the way. We won't get into it. But anyway, you know, now some of these crooked bastards who tried to trick people out of their money on the infomercial actually went to jail. One of the biggest a-holes.
The pillow guy? Did the pillow guy go to jail yet?
No, this infomercial guy, this little weasel face prick, his name is Kevin Trudeau. If you saw him, you would remember the Trudeau guy.
Right.
He's sitting there lying about his weight loss cure, his natural cures book. Kevin Trudeau, just a piece of shit. He's been to jail. He should be in there now. Convicted of larceny, credit card fraud. Dude, he's had to pay millies for all the lies he told. Of course, today, as Kat just mentioned, the ultimate infomercial is the Home Shopping Network, where you can get hoodwinked into buying something you don't need for four easy payments of $19.99. Now, Kat said, We might watch it tonight after the after the podcast. We might. I don't know. It's hard to say. If the drinking goes well, we could be on there. And, you know, we're not watching it because we want what they're selling.
No.
It's just fun to make fun of it with their sales pitches. And, you know, the infomercial,
especially if it's like a piece of food or like some steak thing, that there's some sort of protein that it's only coming out, and there's going to be two shipments, one right there before Thanksgiving and the one right there before Christmas that's coming out.
Well, see, I don't want food delivered to my house. I don't care if it's brownies, cookies, lamb chop. I don't care what it is. I know they got all those special freeze-dried packs and whatever. It's a little better. But I don't know where that stuff traveled to get here. And like Kat said, the infomercial, it's still out there, but it's kind of dying a slow death.
Well, because people are more cynical, and like the youngins now, they are influenced by the influencers.
Well,
who are telling them there on the TikTok-y and the Instagram, this is the coolest thing ever, you know.
Well,
you need to buy this.
Television as a whole is dying a slow death. The young cats, they're on YouTube TV.
Right.
They're not watching 6, 8, and 12. You know, there's other options that are better than paying, what, $999, whatever, paying for all these channels. How much is their TV bill now?
Don't ask.
Yeah, it's crazy. So the infomercial audience is kind of limited now.
Right.
The sad thing about the infomercial going on today is they're aimed at the elderly, right? You need life insurance, or you need a retirement home, or a financial advisor.
Well, here's the thing that kills me, because you'll have commercials that will say, you need that insurance. You need to buy that insurance. This is insurance. And then the next one will go, oh, you're sitting on a gold mine. You don't need that insurance. All your kin are all grown up now.
Yeah, I don't like the ones that are targeting the elderly. That's all bullshit. Anyway, stay away from the infomercial. It was bad from the start, and it's only gotten worse. All right, let's roll right into One Tough Son of a Bitch. All right, this dude is one tough son of a bitch, and this guy is a trip. Charles Bukowski, born in 1920 from Andernach, Germany.
Right.
Charles Bukowski, he was a poet, a novelist, a short story writer, and dude was crazy good at all of it. Most of it alcohol influenced.
Oh, hell, he started drinking when he was 13.
Yeah. The family, he's from Germany, but he's Americanized, right? They left Germany on a boat when he was like 3, and they actually ended up in Baltimore, then headed out to LA. And Charles Bukowski said his dad beat his ass with a razor strap relentlessly as a small boy, and that kind of influenced his writing. In his early teens, a friend introduced him to alcohol, and he pretty much used alcohol to cope with life from then on.
Right.
His writings describe maybe the social, cultural, and economic issues going on in LA at the time. He did a great job of depicting the ordinary lives of poor people,
right,
in America. Time magazine in 1986 called Bukowski a laureate of the American lowlife. Charles Bukowski, he was a hell of a poet.
Yes.
And a hell of a drinker.
Quite a drinker.
He would do these live poetry readings. I pulled them up because, look, I work hard for this podcast. I want everybody to know. I pulled this shit up on YouTube. It was a trip. I'm not kidding. Dude is up there toasted and reading his poetry. You got to remember, like, I think in New York, LA, whatever these places, they had these little, were they like coffee shops? Or
right.
I don't know what you call it,
right.
Where people would get up and do their, read their stuff.
Right.
And it was like the 60s.
Poetry reading.
60s, 70s. And some of this dude, some of his readings are legendary. Okay. My man, he made it to the age of 73. And you know, he thanked beer and wine for his longevity.
Okay. There's a movie starring Mickey Rourke, Semi-Autobarfly.
Oh, that's supposed to, yes.
Came out in 1987. And I think one of our previous people we did, Faye Dunaway is also in that movie. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. There's a thing on his gravestone that says, "Don't try."
That's what it says.
Right. And okay. And this is the quote. And he talked to 1963, his letter to William John Corrington. He's asking him, how do you write and create? And he says, you don't try. That's very important. Not to try, either for Cadillacs or creation or immortality. You wait. And if it happens, you wait some more. If it doesn't happen, you wait some more. It's like a bug high on the wall. You wait for the bug to come to you. When it comes close enough to you, you reach out and slap it and kill it. Or if you like its looks, you make it a pet out of it.
Right. It's
like, don't make, it might have been from a lot of drinking, but don't even try. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Right. But if you go visit his headstone and you see that, you think he's like, you know, a louse or lazy or
right.
Don't care or whatever, but that's not what it means. I never heard of the guy. I can't even remember how I tripped up on this dude. But Kat was talking about movies. There's one called The Tales of Ordinary Madness, Crazy Love. The Barfly one's a trip. In the music realm, it's crazy. Chili Peppers, U2. Arctic Monkeys, Modest Mouse, and a bunch of other musicians have referenced Bukowski as a influence and used his poetry in their lyrics. And that makes Charles Bukowski one tough son of a bitch. Are we watching anything?
I tried to watch The Penguin. And I agree with my partner next to me. Unless you're just really into watching somebody in a fat suit with way too much prosthetics on his face, try and act like he's a mob guy, I decided not to. So instead, I'm going to bring up something from another realm. We have talked way too much about the major networks taking their losses and just going, hey, let's do game shows. But there's only one game show that I've watched in the past whatever years that they've been coming out with. And I like it. And my partner to the left of me, he's very cynical of it. But that's okay. Because I'm going to talk about it anyway. It's called The Floor. It's an American game show based on a Dutch game show. And there's like 100 people with like 100 different topics. And it's supposedly their topic that they... trivia topic that they know so much about, and they go head to head dueling on you. Like, so I'm sitting beside someone who has poets, and I know something about poets, but I have game show knowledge or something. And they ask me, and I challenge them, and they do a little like slideshow thing where you have to name poets or name authors or whatever, and whoever knows that topic better than they, you win their territory there on the floor. And what's funny, when last year I felt like they did it, it seemed like there was just like 50 people doing the floor. This year it's like 100 people, different squares. And what's interesting, they've just brought it up. Some of the people are bluffing that that's their, like, there was a guy that had international currencies that you know, he would probably try and stay away from that person and that currency. But it turns out the guy was bluffing that he knew that currency. And what's interesting is, even though there's like 100 people there on the floor and they're dropping out left and right, they're all like getting little, you know, well, I don't think he would know that. Did you think he knew that? I mean, it's very, very cat and mouse about who's, and what's interesting, the last week when I watched it, the people that were winning were older women who knew stuff and had been around.
Why don't you try out for the show?
You know, my partner here, he knows I do a pretty mean Jeopardy, but I don't know if I would go on this show because
you got to be cutthroat.
You got to be pretty cutthroat. And people are very verbal in their cutthroatness, and they'll have topics where that you think that that person's going to know that topic, that you challenge them, you get up there, you've wasted them. And as the slideshow goes, the person who has the least amount of time answering what's out on the slides is the one that loses. The person who has the right. most time left wins. And I think it's a pretty good show. There's some interest. It's somewhat interesting because the people are in the same clothes. Obviously, they have filmed this over a weekend or something. And the people are in the same clothes every single time that they roll out there.
And Rob Lowe
is there. And if, you
which
know,
is why I'm not watching.
You get a St. Elmo's fire reference. He lights up like a...
Oh, my God. It's a little interesting. For a game show or whatever you want to call it, it's a little clever. I'll give you that.
Okay, so if you won that episode and have the most territory of that episode, you win $20,000. The season's grand prize winner is $250,000. No, the all-over prize pot money is $450,000.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I've enjoyed it because, of course, while the slides are going, I'm answering the questions.
Not all of them.
Not all of them, but most of them I can answer, you know. There was one that recessed, didn't know tetherball, you know.
Again, it's a little different sitting on the couch, just like Jeopardy. There's no pressure. When you got lights on and people staring at you, right?
Right,
and then you're
right,
trying to
right.
answer something, you're like, oh, I don't know.
But, you know, even like the people that are down there on the stage watching the two people dueling, they're getting comments and stuff going on. Anyway, If you have to watch a game show, whatever, this is probably the one I would recommend.
It's called The Floor.
The Floor.
And it's on 8?
It's on Fox.
Fox on Wednesday?
Like, I think either Thursday or Wednesday night, one of the two.
All right. Whew. After all that, I need a shot.
Okay.
Kat, what do we got?
This week is the wet pussy shot.
Say that again?
Wet pussy.
Keep saying it.
Anyway, it is made with a half an ounce of vodka.
Where are you getting these filthy shots from? Where? What? You're going to have a virus on
you. I'm
going to
say here in a minute. Half an ounce of vodka, half an inch orange juice, half an ounce of cranberry juice, half an ounce of peach schnapps. This one
That's
I saw.
That's not bad. That's not a bad combo.
It's not a bad combo. This is from the show Selling Sunset. They had a whole round of them.
Here, cheers to you, baby, and wet pussies across the world. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
That's like a morning shot. Like, I'd have that with my avocado toast and a wet pussy shot. Can I have that in the morning? That's really pretty good. You can taste each little thing.
Right. Nothing's overpowering there.
I'm not going to expand on that. All right. Thank you, Kat, for the... Not going to say it.
Wet pussy shot.
All right. This week we were bumpered in with a lady called Elizabeth Cook, 52 years young, from... Wildwood, Florida.
Florida.
I didn't know there was a Wildwood, Florida. Secret note, Kat's not listening. I kind of got a crush on this lady.
I can tell.
She is age appropriate. Elizabeth Cook, singer, songwriter in the country /Americana forum. Both her parents played just about anything with strings on it.
Winter, Mama was a hillbilly singer from West Virginia.
And when Dad wasn't in jail, their parents
being a moonshiner, upright bass there at the prison band. Yeah.
Her parents played in local country bands, so Elizabeth Cook had it in the blood. You know, she was the youngest of 12 kids.
Mom and Daddy were busy.
Wow. Elizabeth Cook's claim to fame right now is hosting a radio show on Sirius Radio called Apron Strings.
Right. She's made 400 appearances there on the Grand Ole Opry.
She's been on there several times. She does have a way with words, little sneaky catchphrases she throws in there.
Do you know that she has a fishing show on the...
What?
Yeah, there's a fishing show called Upstream on the Circle Network.
I don't know that network.
That's probably why we've never heard of it.
She was a fishing gal. I'll check it out. Let's see. Check out her website. She's got videos for her songs. The one, Perfect Girls of Pop, very well done. Like Kat said, many, many times she's on the Opry. She's released 7 studio albums. She's loved by the Americana audience. She's done Letterman 3 times, done stuff with Jason Isbell.
If you want to hear her in person, she's going to be at the McPherson Opera House in McPherson, Kansas, there November 8th.
All right. Check out Elizabeth Cook. I do. Wherever you get your music, I want to thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya. You know.